verse 4 through 15. How many of you guys have ever had plans that have been completely derailed? You're moving forward, you're going about your business, and you have these plans, and then something stops you dead in your tracks. You guys ever been there? Have you guys had that happen to you? Yeah. Maybe for you that was a job. Maybe that was some, like, you were planning to move. Maybe you had an opportunity to take and you blew it, or it just fell through. We've all been there. I recently found out that I have a torn labrum in my hip. And last year I was rehabilitating that, and I was doing great. I was feeling great. I've said this before, but I love basketball, and like, I was playing great. Like, I was really playing well. And then all of a sudden, I tore my Achilles, right? And that was very discouraging. That kind of interruption, when those things happen to us in our lives, where we have these plans, where we're working towards stuff, and those interruptions happen, it's frustrating, it's discouraging. Sometimes it even feels like, man, God, I think God's working against me. And what's even harder, and what I've been kind of experiencing recently, is it's even harder when we have an interruption that comes when we're not just trying to build something for ourselves, trying to do something, have this plan for ourselves, but when we're actually, we have an interruption that stops us, or at least attempts to stop us from serving God, right? Have you guys ever had that happen to you? You're doing the right thing. You have the right motives. You want to honor God with your lives, and yet nothing is going according to plan. For whatever reason, you don't know why, but ministry, serving God, serving people is just difficult for some reason. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but I'm not going to lie. I've been there a couple times in the past few months with the health issues that I'm going through and the different things that have been coming up. And when that happens to you, when you get interrupted from serving God, you can be tempted to wonder, man, am I missing something? Am I doing something wrong? You may even be tempted to quit trying, or, you know, just quit in general. You may be tempted to do that because it's discouraging. Like, you want to do the right thing. You're doing the right thing. And for some reason, this interruption came up, and you just, it's hard to understand. Tonight, I want to show you that interruptions don't have to derail us from our service to God. You can continue to serve God despite interruptions. In fact, when we look at the life of Paul, we see that he had some of the greatest ministry that he had after interruptions happened. And so his response to those interruptions, they give us the blueprint of how we should respond when our own ministry plans get interrupted. We can overcome those interruptions, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. But before we get started, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together tonight and to get into your word, to be able to fellowship with one another. And I just pray that as we hear the word, Lord, that you would help us to apply the word to our life, that we could overcome interruptions, that we could see how we could overcome interruptions, and that we would take what we're learning tonight, and that we would do those things, Lord, when things try to hinder us from serving you. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me give you a little bit of context about what's happening in Paul's life. Paul is ministering, right? He's serving God, and he's doing it effectively. On his first journey, he went and he planted churches all across Cyprus, Asia Minor, Galatia. And now he's on his second journey, and he's building on that success, and he's going back to all the churches that he started, but he's also going to go further this time. And in his most recent stop, right before where we are in our reading tonight, he goes to Lystra, which is a town that he'd been there before, right? 3 years before he was there, and he preached the gospel there. And the Bible tells us that they tried to murder him, so he had to flee. And now he's back again, and he finds this young man named Timothy. And Timothy is a great example in the Bible. I love the story of Timothy. But he meets Timothy, and he brings him along and he disciples him, right? He begins to disciple him on how Timothy can be effective in ministry. And they get together and they have, Paul has this plan to continue his journey, right? It didn't stop there. He met Timothy, he picked him up, and he plans to continue his journey. And then he gets interrupted again, right? His plans were interrupted by God himself. He wanted to go and serve God, and we're going to see that God stops him from doing that. Paul, like many of us, I would say hopefully all of us, if you love the Lord, if you believe in Jesus, you should want to serve God, and you should want to do God's will. And Paul had that desire. He wanted to do God's will. And this interruption occurs, and we're going to read about it. While this interruption could have been a lot of things for Paul, it could have been frustrating, discouraging, confusing, we see how Paul responds to the interruption, and we see how that we can overcome interruptions in our own ministry by how he responds. If we follow his example, our service will continue to impact the lives of other people despite what we're going through. And so the objective tonight is that every believer can overcome ministry interruptions by responding in three ways. And so the first way that we're going to look at tonight is surrender to God's plan. We need to respond to interruptions by surrendering to God's plan. God has a plan to reach the world, and he does that by calling believers to spread the gospel, and he's sovereign over that plan. And so our job is to surrender to his plan, to surrender to that plan, to trust in his sovereignty, even when interruptions come. And so that's what we're going to see in these verses here. In verse 4 of chapter 16 is where we're going to pick up. In verse 4 it says, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that they were ordained, or that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." And so here we see God has this plan, and Paul is executing this plan. The plan that God has started before creation, and it climaxed when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And it's the plan that Jesus taught his disciples to go out and do, right? Jesus sent his disciples in Matthew 28. He gave them three specific directions, right? In Matthew 28, you guys know the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." So Jesus gave three specific directions in those verses, three directions that we know and we hold dear here at Trinity, right? The first direction he gives them is Jesus calls them to reach people for Christ. He says, "Go into all the nations and teach them." Teach them what? What does he want them to teach him? The gospel, right? He wants them to teach them the gospel, that Jesus came, lived a perfect life. He died a sinner's death. And he didn't stay dead. He was resurrected. And by faith in his resurrection, sinners can be saved from hell. That's the first thing that he told them. The second thing that he told them is to teach them how to respond to that new faith, right? He says, baptize them. And we believe that baptism is the first step of obedience. It doesn't save you, but it identifies you with Christ, right? And then the third direction, he says, make disciples of those people, right? Teach them not only the basics, but all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And that should sound super familiar to you guys, right? Reach people, teach people, make disciples. That's what we want to do here at Trinity. That's what God's plan was for creation. That's what Jesus came for, to start that up. And Jesus made disciples, and he taught them to go and to make more disciples. That's what he taught them to do. And that's what Paul was doing. He was taking the agreed upon doctrine from place to place. He was establishing churches, and they were growing in number daily, it says. Here's what you need to see, though. That's God's plan, right? That's not Trinity Baptist's plan. That wasn't Paul's plan. That was God's plan. He gave Paul this clear mission to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, and he gave him a proven strategy: reach people, teach people, make disciples. And Paul had surrendered to that plan, and it was working. God was doing things, right? If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to know that God made a plan so that you could, and he's executed it. If you do know Christ, then like Paul, you must surrender to that plan. If you hope to serve the Lord, you have to surrender to that plan. That's how we serve God, right? By serving others and by spreading the gospel. As you surrender to God's plan, you're going to see God work in and through your life, just as he was doing in Paul's life. Who wants to see people saved? You guys want to see people saved? I want to see people saved, and I assume we all do in this room. But some people are praying for people, and they're saying, man, God, would you please send someone who loves these people, to go and reach them with the gospel, but they haven't surrendered to God's plan to go and tell them themselves, right? God's plan is for you and I to go and tell people the gospel. And I'm sure if we're praying that prayer, God's thinking, I've already answered your prayer. Like, go tell them. You love them. You know the gospel. They need the gospel. Go tell them. We must go. That's God's plan. But here's the hard part. If you have surrendered to God's plan, then you know, and you've been spreading the gospel, then you know well that not every person you talk to is going to be won to the Lord. You're not going to be able to reach every single person. Sometimes they put a wall up. In Paul's instance here, God himself puts this wall up despite Paul's faithfulness to his mission. Paul was going, he was seeing results of his faithfulness, and suddenly his ministry faces this interruption. And what can you do when God puts a wall up? What are you going to do, right? But surrender. That's really all you can do. In verse 6, it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word to Asia. And so Paul, we know Paul faced a ton of interruptions in his ministry, typically at the hand of unbelievers, but this time it was God himself who interrupted him. Paul had plans. I have a map on the next slide. Paul had plans to take the gospel to Asia, right? And if you look, Asia would have, he could have just walked straight and he would have been in Asia. But God said no. I don't know if his plan was to go to Ephesus or if he was just going to go straight through Asia. I don't know what his plan was, but Asia was the next logical step in Paul's mind. That's where he was going. And God said no. We don't know exactly how God prevented him from going, but it was clear that he did. And it's clear that it felt like an interruption to his ministry. Paul was serving the Lord, and all of a sudden God interrupted his ministry, said, no, you can't go to Asia. My daughter, she loves to be nice. Like, she loves to serve people. She loves to do sweet things for people. And sometimes I have to tell her no, right? And if you're a parent, you know that no explanation is in order. Like, I don't have to tell her why. It could be any number of reasons why I told her no. But what I've noticed, and I don't know if you guys have ever been in this situation yourselves, but what I've noticed with her is that even when she's not wrong, she's not in trouble, I'm not upset with her, it's just like, hey, you can't do that. There's still this tension, that there's still this weight, this kind of burden of this boundary. When I set a boundary, you feel it. It's like, no, you can't do that. Why can't I do that? It's nice. It doesn't make sense. And the text tells us that when God said no to Paul, he experienced it as a hindrance. He was moving forward faithfully, successfully serving him, and he ran into a wall. And that would make me wonder these two things. Why would God do that if his plan was to, and his will was to reach all people, why would God not allow Paul to, why would God interrupt his own plan, right? The Bible teaches us clearly that God has this plan of salvation, that God wants every person to be saved. And the reality is that God wants the people that we're trying to reach to be saved more than we could ever want them to be saved. And he's doing everything in his power to do that, right? As you serve God and you're trying to reach people, and these interruptions arise, it's natural to wonder, man, why is this happening? I'm just trying to serve the Lord. Like, why? But the reality is there's so many possible reasons that God could stop us from doing that. And there's no explanation in order from God, right? We can't demand an explanation from God. It could be that he's trying to protect us. It could be that he's redirecting us. It could be that he has something else in mind. It could be that we're not ready for that. Who knows? Who knows? God knows, and God is in control of that. So the right way to respond when God says no is not discouragement. It's not discontentment with our Lord. It's surrender. We can have confidence in our God. Even when those interruptions happen, we can have confidence. And so for Paul, I'm not sure that he ever knew for a fact why. The Bible gives us some indication of why, but I don't know that he knew exactly why God said no. But there is something that he did know. He knew that he could trust God was working out his sovereign plan through the interruptions, right? Even though God said no, God was still God, and he was still working out his plan of salvation in the world. And we can have that same confidence today. We know that Paul ended up going to Asia eventually, right? Which is awesome. But he went on God's timeline. So we can't always know in the moment why God is allowing an interruption, but we can always trust that God has a plan, that he's sovereign over it, right? And we can surrender to it. Surrendering, it doesn't mean giving up on a mission. It doesn't mean stop caring. It doesn't mean stop trying. One commentator said surrender means you stop fighting with God and you start walking in the direction that he's pointing you to, right? That's surrendering. It means that you have a confidence enough to, you have a confidence enough in the Lord to do or not to do exactly what he told you, what he revealed to you, right? And so that's exactly what Paul did, and that's what we need to do. We need to surrender to his plan. That leads us to our second response we need to have to overcome interruptions, and that is pursue God's calling. In verse 7 through 10, despite lack of clear direction, we're going to see that Paul kept pursuing God's calling. He didn't give up. He continued to look for ways to serve God and to serve man. And so that's what we're going to see in this point. In verse 7 and 8, it says, after they were come to Mysia, they were assayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. And so Paul surrendered to God's plan for Asia, and when God said didn't go, Paul didn't go, right? But there's two things that God didn't tell Paul that probably would have been helpful, right? Or at least maybe Paul would have considered those two things. The two things are, God didn't tell him where to go. He just told him, don't go there, right? The second thing is, God didn't tell him to stop doing what he'd already called him to do. Paul had no direction outside of what God had already told him to do, and he simply pursued that. I don't know what God wants me to do, but I do know that God wants me to go reach people, teach people, make disciples. And so that's what he did. Let me make it this point super practical for you guys. When you don't know exactly what to do in your life, don't do what you know not to do. Amen. And do what you know to do. It's really simple. But That's what Paul did. When he got interrupted, that's what he did. He tried to go to Bithynia, and God said no again. And so he just kept doing what he knew God wanted him to do. And he moved on to the next place. And the next place was Troas. And so had Paul allowed these interruptions to just end his ministry, he would have never came to Troas. And though Troas was not the place that God ultimately wanted Paul to go, it was a very important stop. At Troas, God gives him direction, which we're about to see. And Luke joins them in Troas. And so it was a very important stop. But how many of you guys have ever gone through things in your faith that just did not make sense at first? But in hindsight, you could see, man, this was all for God's glory. God had a plan this whole time. He was taking care of everything. And that thing that I did not enjoy back then, I can see why I went through it now. Like, I can understand that was actually kind of helpful. I learned something from it. I experienced something. I met somebody who helped me to grow, helped me to serve God better. We don't always understand everything in the moment, right? A lot of times we can see that in hindsight, and we can see in hindsight, looking at Paul's story, man, God, it may not have made sense in the moment, but God had a plan. God was doing something there. Paul knew God's calling on his life. Paul knew that he was called to do these things, and he trusted God would provide as he pursued it, and that's what happened. After a bunch of travel, we see that he shows up to Troas, and God gives him this dream. God tells him exactly where he wants him to go in verse 9 and 10. And once God tells him, Paul pursued that. And the result of that is that the gospel makes it to Macedonia, which is modern-day Europe. But in verse 9 through 10, it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them." So notice how Paul responded, right? Paul has this dream, and he doesn't rush off as soon as he has the dream. He tests it. He talks to his team. It says that they were convinced. It says when they had assuredly gathered that the Lord had called them to preach unto them, they left immediately. So I think it's important to note, when we're dealing with God's will, when we're considering what God wants for our life, we ought not be moved automatically by experience or by emotion. But once we do know God's will, once it's clear to us what God wants us to do, the logical response is to immediately and faithfully pursue it. Here's the point I want you guys to see tonight, though. Nothing changed for Paul. Outside of location, he was pursuing God's call and spreading the gospel. He pursued before the interruptions came, right? That's what he was doing in the beginning. He was pursuing God's calling. When God said no, when he had no clue where he was supposed to go, and when God revealed to him exactly where he went, and he had confidence that God was calling him to Macedonia, he pursued God's calling the entire time. Nothing changed. Has there ever been a time in your life where you didn't know what God wanted you to do, and you earnestly sought God's wisdom in that? God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What's your will in my life? When I finally surrendered to ministry, I was working at a nursing home. We were broke. We had two kids. And I remember hoping and praying. I don't know what's going to happen, God, but I prayed, man, I hope someday I'll be standing in front of a church body preaching the gospel, because I feel like that's what you're calling me to do, right? I had no clue what that meant for my life. I didn't grow up in church, and I didn't know the process. I knew one thing, though, that God wanted me to grow, right? 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification," right? God's will for, I knew that God wanted me to grow, and that's the will for God, or that's God's will for every believer, is that he wants you to grow. And so I knew that, and I pursued that, and I learned that God wanted me to follow in his plan of salvation, right? God wanted me to reach people, teach people, and make disciples within the local church. And so that's also God's will for every believer, by the way. But I pursued that. And when I felt a tug in my heart to ministry, but outside of that, I had no idea what God wanted me to do. And quite frankly, like today, I still don't know the specifics of what God wants me to do. When somebody asks me, what do you feel like God's calling you to do in ministry? My answer is simple. I feel like God wants me to reach young adults in Findlay, Ohio. Why? It's where he has me. I don't know what else to say. And so that's what I'm pursuing. And I think, sometimes I definitely wish, like, man, God, could you just show me, like, tell me what's going to happen in a year. Tell me where I'll be in 5 years. Like, that would be great. And I know Gabby would love some clarity in that, right? But here's what we've experienced in our life. And if she disagrees, she could tell you after. But here's what we've experienced. Like, God has worked in ways that we did not understand to line up things in our life so that we could be where we are right now. And I believe that he will continue to do that. And if you pursue God's calling in your life, I think he'll do the same thing in your life. That's the same peace, and that's the same perspective that Paul has in this passage. God laid out his will in his word, and he's called every believer to participate in the Great Commission, and Paul pursued that, and that's what we need to pursue. And if there's something specific that God has for you in mind, then you just have to trust that God's going to lead you to it. God will make that happen. When the path is unclear, the right response for us to have is not to ponder why God is allowing these interruptions. Why doesn't he just tell me what he wants me to do? The right response is to pursue. How can I serve you despite these interruptions? What things can I do that you've already made clear that I need to do? The Bible says that God forbid Paul to go to Asia, and that he suffered him not to go to Bithynia. But Paul continued pursuing God's calling on his life, and God eventually made it clear what God wanted Paul to do. But does that make it clear to me what I should have for lunch tomorrow? Does that tell me exactly where or what I should be doing long term in ministry? No. It does give me this really simple pattern, though, okay? And I think this is really helpful. Number one is obey what's revealed, okay? Do what God has already told you to do. Choose the wise. Choose what's wise, right? If you have to make a choice, choose the wisest thing that you can choose. And trust God with the rest is the third thing. God's going to work these things out. If he needs to, he can redirect your life. He's God. If he needs to, he can do that. Just as he did with Paul. If you want to overcome lack of direction in ministry, pursue God's calling. In life even. Not just ministry, but to some regard, our life should be ministry. So if you want to overcome lack of direction, though, pursue God's calling. Minister right where you are until direction becomes clear. That's the attitude Paul had, and that's the attitude we should have. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Timothy was having a hard time, right? And Paul was telling him, hey, don't stop doing what you're supposed to be doing. Preach the word in season, out of season. Tell them what they need to hear. And so whether our ministry be smooth sailing or whether it be filled with interruptions, lack of direction, the calling that God has given us, it doesn't change. So we need to pursue that. And as you pursue that, I think you'll inevitably see this third response to interruptions, which is continue in God's work. God doesn't, so in this passage, we're going to see Paul get a little bit disrupted in his ministry, but God doesn't disrupt or allow disruptions in our ministry to stop him. He uses those disruptions to strengthen our ministry and to steer it. And the reality is that God wants to shape our ministry. He wants to shape our faith as we serve him despite disruption. So we need to continue in his work. In verse 11, it says, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course into Samothracia. That's a tough one. And the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." And so they leave Troas, they go to Philippi. It's a major city. It's a wealthy city. It's a strategic location on a main Roman road. And it's a great place for the gospel to go out. And this Philippi, we know, became the home of the Philippian church. But when Paul gets there, there's no church. There's not even a synagogue. And we're going to see that in a second. I don't know if you guys have, does anybody like routine? Like, is anybody like really stringent with their routine? I love routines. And when you're like that, man, sometimes if your routine gets disturbed, it can ruin your whole day. I don't think that's a good thing. I think we can all agree that's not how we should behave. But man, sometimes that's the reality of the situation. Like, if I miss, I try not to be like this anymore, but there was a time in life that if I missed my prayer time in the morning, or if I didn't get to read, or even if I just didn't get to read as long as I wanted to, or God forbid, like, I miss coffee, I was liable to be a jerk for the rest of the day. I was down in the dumps. I didn't want to do anything. Like, you guys get what I'm saying. I can tell you've been there. I was going to ask you if you've been there, but I can tell you've been there. God doesn't want interruptions to keep us from serving him. And the reality is that those days I did not serve God very well. And now we see Paul, and we know Paul has this strategy, this routine for ministry. His norm is to go to the temple to preach to the Jewish men there. But because the population was so small of Jewish people in this area, there was no temple in Philippi. So his routine off bat is shot. His clarity for, like, if you have a routine, you wake up. I would wake up in the morning. What am I going to do today? I'm going to get coffee. I'm going to start coffee. I'm going to pray while my coffee's going. I'm going to read my Bible, enjoy my coffee. I might work out. It gets really bad when you have too many things in your routine, because then it always gets messed up. But Paul had this routine, and it was destroyed right off bat. There's no temple. There's no Jewish men. But he didn't, like, huff and puff. He didn't say, well, I guess this probably isn't the town for me then. He simply moved on. He adapted his approach, and he continued in the work of the Lord. Verse 13, it says, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the river where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there." And so, what did he do? He remained faithful to God's work. He was continued to spread the gospel. Whoever he could get it out to, he did. And who knows how many women he preached to that day. But we do know that one woman responded. In particular, in verse 14, it says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and she, or and when she was baptized. And I'm going to stop there just for a second. Lydia was this wealthy woman, this non-Jewish woman who had a love for the Lord. And notice what the scripture says. The Bible says that God opened her heart. So as all of this interruptions are going on in Paul's life, he's not understanding what's going on. God's working on this woman's life. And when he gets there, God had been preparing her to hear his message. And when the gospel is preached, she receives it. She didn't just listen to it, right? She attended to the things that he said. And isn't that amazing? Like, that's what preaching and teaching is for. When God's word goes out, it's for us to attend to. We need to hear it and apply it to our lives. God wants us to make decisions that honor him based on what his word says. And that's what she did. It says immediately she responded in obedience, and she believed, and she was baptized that very day, which is amazing. And I think this had to have been an incredible moment for Paul. If you've had the privilege to lead someone to the Lord, then I'm sure you can attest to this. If all that happened as a result of all the stuff that Paul had just went through was this one woman got saved, that would have made all of those interruptions, all the disruption, all the lack of direction, all of that would have been worth it. But that's not what happened. If we keep reading in verse 15, we see her whole household gets saved. In verse 15, it says, and her household, so verse 15, it says, and when she was baptized and her household, she brought us saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And so this woman gets saved, her whole household gets saved, and then she invites the disciples to her house, and that becomes the first meeting place of the Philippian church. And after she gets saved, we know that the jailer and his family get saved, and then many other people get saved as a result of all the stuff that God's doing there. And we know that because Paul wrote a letter, right? He wrote a letter called Philippians. And he's in the beginning of the letter, he says, he addresses it to all the saints that are in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. And so Paul, after all of that interruption, he continues to do God's work, and God does an amazing thing as a result. And here's what I want you to see. When disruptions came, Paul continued to do God's work. Disruptions don't stop the mission, then. This disobedience does. When we don't do what God told us to do and we don't continue in his work, that's the only thing that's going to stop God from working through us, from reaching people and teaching people and making disciples. And I hope, or if we hope to serve the Lord, rather, which we are called to do, then we should expect disruptions. So we can expect disruptions with people and results. We can expect disruptions with circumstances. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have a spiritual enemy. And people generally aren't very fond of Christianity either. So we're gonna face disruptions in our ministry. And when we do, that can be disappointing. But we don't need to let those disappointments, these interruptions, to make us quit. We need to keep going. If you have breath in your lungs, God has words for you to speak. Continue in God's work. Keep reaching people, teaching people, and making disciples, even when it seems unclear, even when the routine is disrupted, and God will empower your ministry and guide your steps through his word and his spirit. And over time, who knows, maybe what you felt as an interruption was actually, you'll find out that it was actually part of his plan. In life and in ministry, interruptions, we've been talking about interruptions for how many weeks now? Seven? Plus all the weeks between? Something like that. I think by now we know interruptions are bound to occur in our life. Paul, his ministry was filled with interruptions. Just in this one trip, we see God tells him no twice. We see that he was uncertain where God wanted him to go. He didn't have clear direction. And we see when he finally gets where he's going, there was no place for him to to go do the thing that he would typically do. And directly after this, if we were to keep reading, we would see that Paul deals with a demon-possessed girl who follows them around, right? And then they cast the demon out. And then he has to deal with the people who essentially exploit her, right? And then after that, he's beaten, he's thrown in jail. But Paul overcomes all of those interruptions and ministers to God and a man everywhere he goes. And so as interruptions and obstacles arise in our lives, we can overcome those interruptions by responding the way that Paul did. Every believer can overcome ministry interruptions by responding in three ways. The first way is surrender to God's plan. When God says no, trust in his sovereignty. Trust in his plan. The second way was pursue God's calling. When the path is unclear, do what you know you're to do. Do what he's already called you to do, right? Pursue that calling. And way three is continue in God's work. When circumstances and circumstances create obstacles, don't stop. Adapt to those obstacles. Continue in God's work. As hard as it can feel, overcoming ministry interruptions is actually really simple. I already kind of gave it to you earlier, but we keep doing what God has called us to do, and we trust him to do the rest. When interruptions arise, we surrender to God's plan and his rule over it, and we minister, we serve. Nobody wants God's will to be done more than God himself, and so we can trust that as we surrender to his plan, he's going to work out his plan. He has it under control. When interruptions arise, we pursue God's calling that he's given us to spread the gospel, whether we know exactly where we ought to go or not. And as we continue in that work that he saved us to do, we're going to see him do his will that he said he wants to do. He's going to reach people. And that's what Paul did. God directed him and brought forth fruit in his ministry. And so maybe you're here tonight, though, and you're thinking, yeah, I get what you're saying, but that kind of just seems easy for you to say. That seems easy for even Paul to say. Like, God gave Paul direction in his life clearly. He forbid him. He didn't let him. Like, if I go over here, is God going to stop me? He didn't let him. And he gave him this dream and told him where he wanted him to go. So, like, it's kind of easy for you to say that, but I have no idea what God wants for my life. What do you want me to do, God? And maybe you're here and you're thinking that. Here's what I have to say about that. God has already revealed his will for your life in his word. If you're not saved, the Bible says that God's will is that you would put your faith and trust in Jesus today, right? Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God has been at work throughout history and throughout your life to bring you to a moment where you would put your faith in Jesus. So don't leave here without doing that. We say Lydia responded, right? She heard Paul's preaching and she responded. That's what we're to do with the gospel. That's God's will for our life. If you're saved, though, then his will is your sanctification. And it's your participation in the Great Commission. And if you need more clarity than that, let me ask you a question. Are you doing what you already know God wants you to do? If not, that's where you start. That's God's will for your life. Do what he already told you to do. And following what God had already revealed to you is how you're going to serve him. It's how you're going to minister to him, right? As you obey what's clear, God's sovereignty will direct your steps, maybe only through hindsight, but he will get you where he wants you to go. And just in closing, in a closing challenge, if you want to overcome ministry interruptions, keep your eyes on the mission, keep your hand on the plow. Whether there's obstacles, lack of direction, or unexpected setbacks, don't get distracted, don't quit, don't be discouraged. Instead, ask God, how can I serve you where I am right now? And then This might be a little radical, but do it. Right? Continue faithfully. And if you make that your posture, I guarantee that you will see two things happen. Your perspective on interruptions is going to change. Big hurdles will become small because what are they compared to our God? And the second thing you're going to see is that you'll see God bless your faithfulness in ways that you've never expected. Let's pray.